Today's Amud is Beitza Tezayin Amud Beis. We're holding on Tezayin Amud Aleph, seven lines from the bottom on the last word of the line, Tani Rabbi Chiya. So says the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Chiya, Adashim Shebeshule Kedera, if you have lentils at the bottom of the pot, a person made a lentil chalan, and so there's some lentils that are stuck on the bottom of the pot, so Saimich Alayan Mishome Ruve Tavshilin. So he could use those lentils that are just leftovers and that are just stuck there or there on the bottom of the pot. He could use those lentils and rely on that for his Erev Tavshilim. V'hani mili dis behu kezayis. As long as it has the bare minimum shear of a kezayis. Amrav Yitzchak, Breid Rav Yehuda, a similar halacha, that shamnunis shal gabe asakin. If let's say there's some fat that's on the knife, a person's kitchen knife, so gairurai, he could scrape off the fat. V'saymichalav mishum eruve tavshilin. I guess it was some sort of eichel. People ate it. So that fat, he could use that for his erev tavshilin. V'hani mili disbu kezayis, as long as there's a shear of a kezayis of the fat, so then you could use that for the erev tavshilin. And the Pais can prove from this Gemara that you see, you don't need to make something specifically. You don't have to cook something specifically for the erev tavshilin. You could even just use leftover food and use that as the Erev Tavshilin. However, Lemaisa, the Marshal, and Yamshel Shloma over here, in second parak of Mesechus Beitza, on Semen Ches, so the Marshal brings that really, Lechatchila, a person should make something fresh, something specific for the Erev Tavshilin. He says to use leftovers is like a Bezayon Mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah with this food. You're going to use just leftovers that you happen to just find in your kitchen. Yeah, it works. You see from this Gemara, it works. But says the Marshal that there's a hiddur mitzvah to use to make something specifically for the Erev Tavshilin. It's mentioned by the Bach as well in Simen Tavkav Chavzayin and Sif Beis, that there's an Indian to specifically make something for the Erev Tavshilin. And the Bir Alacha brings it, and he says that at least to make something that's the Kavod Shabbos and to use that for the Erev Tavshilin. Meaning, even if you're not going to make something specifically for the Erev Tavshilin, at least use something which was made for Shabbos and use that for the Erev Tavshilin. That's also included in this Heder Mitzvah. The Bir Alachas in Simen Tavkav Chavzayin in Siv Vav Dibur Maschal Adashim. So, but Lemaisa, you see from this Gemara that Lemaisa, you are Yaitse, even if you just use leftover food. Says the Gemara, Vaiter now, Amrav Asya Marav. Dagim ketanim meluchim ein behem mishum bishulei nachr. There's no problem with bishul nachri when it comes to these small salted fish. Generally speaking, if a guy cooks something for you, so it's bishul nachri, you're not allowed to eat it. If a guy cooks you some chicken, so you're not allowed to eat the chicken. One of the exceptions, there's a few exceptions. One exception is something which you could have eaten raw. If a guy boils water for you, if a guy cooks up some water, so being that you could have drank the water raw, so to speak, you could have drank it when it was cold, so there's no problem with bishul nachri for a guy to heat up water for you. So says Rav also, there's no problem by these dagim ketanim meluchim, there's no problem for a guy to cook it for you because they're eaten raw, a nice smackish sushi, and therefore there's no problem for the guy to cook it. Amar Rabbi Yosef, and so Rabbi Yosef just took it a step further, and says Rabbi Yosef that ve'im tzalan, let's say he roasts, let's say he cooks up the fish, so again, there's no problem of bishul nachri, ve'im tzalan nachri, if a nachri cooks it, so say mechaleihem, yishom eruvei tavshilin. So ironically, now you could even use it as a cooked dish for your eruv tavshilin. It's mutter to eat it, even though it was cooked by the nachri, because it was something which you could have eaten raw. Memela, there's no issue of bishul nachri. Now that there's no issue of bishul nachri, so now you could use it for your Erev Tavshilin. It's a regular cooked dish, so enjoy. Have that for your Erev Tavshilin. V'i avdinu nachri kasa daharsana. However, says Rabbi Yosef, if the guy made it into kasa daharsana, which is maybe something similar to like fish sticks, Rashi says that with the fish you throw in some of the innards and the fats and some flour, so you cook it all together and you make like these like fish sticks, so then already, then aser, then it's going to be a problem of bishul nachri, and then mameli you're not going to be able to use it for your Erev Tavshilin, because that, the other things that were added, that added kamach, the added flour, so then that's that's all things that weren't eaten raw. You weren't able to eat it raw. Mamela, that's going to be a problem of Bishul Nachri, and by default, now you're not going to, it's unedible, so you can't use it for your Erev Tavshila. So says the Gemara Pshita, obviously it's going to be a problem of Bishul Nachri, and then you can't use it for your Erev Tavshila, because it has the flour added in. So what's the Chiddush? Says the Gemara, Ma'ud Etema, I could have understood that harsana ikr, that maybe the fish is the ikr. Kamash malon, the kimcha ikr, that no, the flour is the ikr, and therefore it is a problem of bishul akum. It is a problem of bishul nachri. Meaning maybe if the fish was the ikr, so then there wouldn't be a problem of bishul nachri, even though there's also some flour added in, but being that the fish is the ikr, so we view it as being fish, and this fish was eaten raw. It was able to be eaten raw, so therefore there wouldn't be a problem of bishul nachri. Kamash malon, that no, it's the flour that's the ikr. It's mashmah. If it would have been that the fish was the ikr, taka would not have been a problem of bishul nachri, but it happens to be that that's not the case. The flour is the ikr. Amar Rav Abba, says Rav Abba, a ruvei tafshilin tzrichin kezayis. That the shear, like we mentioned before, the shear for an erev tafshilin is a kezayis. That's the minimum shear for an erev tafshilin, is that it has to be a kezayis. L'chaira kezayis both for the tafshil and for the pas. We mentioned we paskin be'ikr like Rabbeinu Tam, at least l'chadchila, that a person has to set aside for his erev tafshilin, pas and tafshil. So the shear is a kezayis. Ibayilu asked the Gemara Shaila, kezayis echad l'kulan oidimah kezayis l'kol echad v'echad. Let's say a person's making an Erev Tafshilin for many people. Let's say a person has a large family. So does it need to be enough for a kezayis for each person? Or is it enough that it's just one kezayis total for the whole entire Erev, and that works for everyone? It says the Gemara, Tashemad, Amrab Abba, Amarav, Eruvei Tafshilin, Tzrichin Kezayis, Bein Lecha, Bein Lemea. Doesn't matter how many people the Erev Tafshilin is being made for, the Erev just needs to be one kezayis. So it could be for 100 people, it still only needs to be one kezayis. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, Ach, loy, oisha, avad. If let's say, this is the Mishnah that we had on Tezvav HaMabez, the beginning of the parak. It says that if someone by mistake ate the Erev Tafshilin, or Stam, it was lost, so loy yavashil alav bitchila. So the Mishnah said that if you don't have it, then you can't cook for Shabbos, relying on the Erev if it doesn't presently exist, at least that you know of. Shir mimenu kolshu. Let's say some of it. So kolshu, the pashtus of the word kolshu is that even just a minuscule amount, even just a very tiny crumb, even if at least a tiny bit is left over, so then says the Mishnah, Samech Olav L'Shabbos. So then you could rely on the Erev. So my kolshu, what does it mean kolshu? Lav afo gavdu leka kezayis? Doesn't it mean even if there's not a kezayis? So you see, the Erev doesn't have to be a kezayis. The Mishnah is mashma, that even if just a tiny bit of the Erev is there, so then you could already cook for Shabbos using that Erev. So you see, it doesn't have to be a kezayis. Kezayis, says the Gemara, Loi, no, de isve kezayis. No, it is a kezayis. When the Mishnah says, Imshir mi menu kolshu, it means that a kezayis is left over. Just, you might have thought to say that maybe if you set aside a larger Erev, so maybe the fact that it was lost partially, or eaten partially, so maybe now you can't rely on it. The Mishnah is saying that no, as long as a kezayis is left over, so then you could still rely on it. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, but it's still, it needs to be a kezayis. Says the Gemara, Vayter Tashima, Tavshil Shel Tzli, Va'afilu Kavush, the Tavshil that you make for the Erev Tavshilin, so it could even be roasted, it could even be Kavush, it could be pickled, Shaluk is a type of cooking, it's very, very cooked, Umevushul, or just regularly cooked, the Tavshil could be any sort of, any way of cooking possible, you could cook it in that way, if you want it to be roasted, the Tavshil for the Erev Tavshilin, you could roast it, you could use something that was pickled, whatever you want. The kolias ha'espanin shenasan alav chamin, and also when it comes to kolias ha'espanin, a certain type of fish that the way you cooked it was just by pouring water. You poured hot water over it. So if you have this kolias ha'espanin that you poured water over it, may erev yamtiv. If you did any of these things erev yamtiv to a tafshil or to this fish, the kolias ha'espanin. So then in any of these cases, it works as your tafshil and tchilasa v'sayfa ein leishir. And says the braisa that there's no shir. So says the Gemara, my lav ain lo shir klal. That makes it seem like you could use that for the Erev, and there's no shir at all. So you see, it doesn't have to be a kezayis. So again, it's a kasha. We said that the Erev tafshilin has to be a kezayis. This brisa says that no, tchilasa v'sayfai ain lo shir, that it doesn't matter how much. So you just have to have something. There is no shir. So it sounds like there doesn't have to be a kezayis. Says the Gemara, lo, you know, that's not what the brisa means. When the Braisa says Tchilasu v'Seifa ein leishir, it means ein leishir lamayla. It means that there's no maximum shir. Avol yesh leishir lamata. There is a minimum shir. There's the minimum shir is the kazayas. The Braisa is just coming to say that there's no maximum shir. If you prepare for the Erev Tavshilin a huge amount of foods, then that whole thing is considered the Erev Tavshilin. The whole thing has a shame Erev Tavshilin to it. There's no maximum shir. But if added the minimum shir, is the kazayah. So if they ask on the Chazara test how large the Erev Tavshilin has to be, from our Gemara it seems very, very clear, we repeated it already a number of times now already, that the Erev Tavshilin just needs to be a kazayah. However, the Mordechai, in Simen Tafresh Chav Zayin, so the Mordechai over there, he actually brings from the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says that although the Tavshil for the Erev Tavshilin only needs to be a kazayah, says the Yerushalmi, the pass needs to be a kibetza. It needs to be a kibetza of pas. Now that's definitely not the mashma'is of our Gemara. Our Gemara wasn't mechalik between tafshil and pas. From our Gemara, it's mashma that there's nothing that needs to be more than a kazayas. Everything just needs to be a kazayas. A tafshil, that's a kazayas, and pas, that's a kazayas. The Mordechai brings from the Yushalmi that no, the pas needs to be a kibetza. And the ma'isa, the paiskim say to be chayshish for the Yushalmi, even though it's not mashma like that at all from the Bavli. The paiskim bring that lechatchila, a person should be machmir for the Yushalmi, and to use a kibetza of pas. Anyways, the Mishnah Berurah already brings, the Kaf HaChaim as well, they bring from the Shlah Kaddish. The Shlah says that al tzidr mitzvah, that he says the Shlah says that the person who he finds joy in performing mitzvahs, so says the Shlah, so don't just use a piece of bread. Says the Shlah, use a full loaf of bread, use a geshmak, a loaf of challah, use something nice, use something special. For hider mitzvah, says the Shlah, there's a concept of being, of hider mitzvah when it comes to Erev Tavshilin. He says hider mitzvah is to use something special, to use a full loaf of challah. Anyways, there's another advantage to use a full loaf, because the place can bring from the Ma'aril, that the Ma'aril was naig, that once he did one mitzvah with the Erev Tavshilin, and he did a mitzvah with it to allow him now to prepare for Shabbos, so then he would take on Shabbos now, when Yom Tov was over, that next Shabbos, the next day, on that Shabbos he would use the Erev Tavshilin for Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos. Because once he did one mitzvah with it, he used it for the Erev Tavshilin, so let's chaperine another mitzvah with it, and let's use it for Lecha Mishnah. So that's dumb. Another milo of using a full loaf of challah for the Erev Tavshilin, and not just using a little piece of bread, is that then you could use it for Lecha Mishnah. Then you could get this milo that the Ma'aril was naig to do, and to do another mitzvah with the Erev Tavshilin, and to use it for Lecha Mishnah. It's interesting, the Shlah brings also that also when it comes to the Tavshil, he says that not just when it comes to the past is the inyan of hider mitzvah, also by the Tavshil, when it comes to the cooked dish, he says don't just use something small. He says use meat, use chicken, use fish, use something, use the chash of a Tavshil. That's what the Shlah says. He says that to be mahadir in the mitzvah of Erev Tavshilin, he says use a full loaf of challah, and for the Tavshil, use your chicken for Friday night chicken, use something geshmak, use some meat, use something special. It's interesting though, the Maisa, many people are naig to use an egg. So where does the concept of using an egg for the Tavshil of the Erev Tavshilin come from? So that already the Ben Yishchai, I believe, is the first one to say it. The Ben Yishchai in Parshas Tzav is Aleph, and Aruch HaShulchan says it as well, in Simen Tavkov Chav Zayin, in Sif Yadalad. They both say that the reason for the egg, the minug for the egg, it came from because, at least back in those times, it was very difficult to find the food that you're going to cook now on Erev Yom Tov, and that it's going to stay fresh all the way until Shabbos. It's a few days away. So therefore, they used an egg. A hard-boiled egg was something which generally didn't, even without refrigeration, was something that would stay fresh. So that's where the minug, that's why they say that that's where the minug to use an egg, that's where they say that that's where the minug to use an egg comes from. So it seemed that means nowadays that we have refrigeration. So L'maisa the Shlah says to hit our mitzvah, to use something chashuv. So it would seem, based on the Shlah, that nowadays that we have refrigeration, so you taka should use something chashuv, and many paiskim taka say like that. Rav Osner says like that. Rav Avadia Yosef says like that. Rav Sternbach, Rav Israel Orbach, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. Many paiskim, we're going to, Bez Hashem, and the Reisa Lalacha article is coming up soon, we'll speak about it. But a lot of the paiskim they bring that nowadays that we have refrigeration, so now don't use an egg, use something chashuv. Use a chashuv tafshil, like the Shlah says. And that's what they taka say, that nowadays that we have refrigeration, so they say not to use an egg. I heard a svara in the shir one time from Rav Asher Weiss. He said that maybe there's still a reason to use an egg, because like we said that the shear for the Erev Tafshilin, the minimum shear, is a kezayis. So Rav Asher Weiss wanted to say that maybe that's where another reason for the minig to use an egg comes from, because we want to make sure that everyone's using the right amount. So if you say to use chicken, if a person uses meat, so he might end up just using a tiny little piece of chicken, and maybe it's not going to be a shear of a kezayis. So maybe that's where there's a minig to use a beitza, because then you know that you have the proper shear, that you have a shear of a kezayis. If you use an egg, so then maybe a hard-boiled egg, so then you know that you have the shear of a kezayis. So maybe that's why they wanted everyone to just use the hard-boiled egg, so that everyone would be using the right shear of a kezayis. Anyway, it says the Gemara Vayta now, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, says Rav Huna in the name of Rav, that they ruve tavshilin srichin das. That when you make an Erev Tavshilin, you need to have kavana, you need to have das. So says the Gemara, what does that mean? So now, pshita das maniach bina. It's obvious that the one who makes the Erev Tavshilin, so he has to know what he's doing. That's pasha. That the person making the Erev Tavshilin, he has to know what he's doing. Das mi shehenichu loy beinan, or loy beinan. But ask the Gemara Shaila, does the person who, let's say, Reuven is making an Erev Tavshilin. So says the Gemara, Reuven for sure needs to know what he's doing. If he's making an Erev Tavshilin also for his friends, he's making it for Shimon and Levi. So does Shimon and Levi have to know about it? Or no? Zachan Adam Shalai Bifanov? It's a zechus for them. So he could do it. He could be mezakeh them in the Erev Tavshilin, maybe even without them knowing. That's the Gemara Shaila. Does Shimon and Levi have to know when Reuven is making the Erev Tavshilin for them? Now, you could say Pasha, yeah, of course. Yeah, Zachan Adam Shalai Bifanov. That's the rule. We always find that a person could do something that's a schus for someone else, even without him knowing. So why not? Why can't Reuven make an Erev Tavshilin without Shimon and Levi, even without Shimon and Levi knowing about it? Why wouldn't he be able to? So it could be that the pshan over here is that being that Erev Tavshilin is supposed to be a hecker, either to save food for Shabbos, or that you should know that you can't cook for the weekday. So maybe over here we want people to know that it's being done. We want specifically Shimon and Levi to know about it. So that's the Gemara Shaila. Does it work if they didn't know? If Reuven makes an Erev Tavshilin for Shimon and Levi, so Reuven for sure needs das. Does Shimon and Levi need das, or do they not need das? So says the Gemara, Tashma, will bring you a raya that they do not need das. What's the raya? Davua de Shmuel ma'arev akulu Narda. Shmuel in his town, he was the Rav of Narda, he was Rosh Hashiva over there. He used to make an Erev Tavshilin on behalf of the entire city. Now, l'chaira, he wasn't going around telling everybody. And still, he made the Erev for everybody. Or Abami v'Rabasi, Ma'arvu, Akulun, Tiveria. They lived in Tiveria. We had in Gemara Brachos, on Chesam and Aleph, they used to learn in Tiveria. And they made an Erev for the whole city of Tiveria. And says the Gemara, Machers of Yaakov Ba'idi, Rav Yaakov Ba'idi used to make an announcement, and you would say, Misha loy hanir cheruvei tavshilin. I assume this announcement was made on Yom Tif, so it was ready now too late to make one. He said, whoever forgot and didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, don't worry, Yavli v'yismach al shali, you could come and you could rely on the one that I already made. So again, you see that they didn't know about it. When he made the Erev Tavshilin, they didn't know about it. He only told them after the fact. So you see that Shimon and Levi do not need to have das. So you see that the person could make an Erev Tavshilin without the other people knowing about it. And that's Taka the Halacha. And it's in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought in Siman Tav Kuf Chav Zayin, Siv Zayin, that specifically a Rav Shataka do this. I mean, we see that these Amoraim, that they had this practice of making an Erev for the whole city. So the Shulchan Aruch says that that's a suggested practice that the Rav in the community, he should specifically make an Erev. He gives it to someone to pick it up and he's mezakeh in it on behalf of everybody, and like that, he makes an Erev Tavshilin on behalf of the whole city. Now says the Gemara Vad Kama. Okay, now how far away does this Erev work for? If someone, let's say, in the middle of New York, he picks up and he makes an Erev Tavshilin on behalf, he can make it for the entire America, he can make it for the whole world, how far does it go? Just for the whole New York? Maybe just for that city? If he's in Brooklyn, maybe just for Brooklyn? How far does it go? Says the Gemara, Amrav Nechumi Bar Zecharia Mishmeda Abaye, at Tchum Shabbos. It goes until the Tchum Shabbos. So you have for that city, and then 2,000 Amos outside of the city limits, that's as far as the Erev Tavshilin could work for. Now says the Gemara story, Ahu Samya, there was once a blind man, the Hava Mesader Masnisa Kameh de Mar Shmuel. Wasn't just I'm a blind man, he was very chashiv, but apparently he memorized his Mishnayos, and used to tell them over in front of Mar Shmuel. So Chaz Yedahava Atsev. And one time Marshmuel, he saw that it was Yom Tif, and he saw that this blind man was sad. So Amar Lei, so Marshmuel said to this blind man, he said, Amayatzivas, why are you sad? So we had a similar story earlier in the Masechta. So Amar Lei, so the Samia said to Marshmuel, Dulaye Sive Ruve Tavshilin, because I forgot to put up an Erev Tavshilin. How am I going to cook for Shabbos? How am I going to have food for Shabbos? I forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin. So Amar Lei, so Marshmuel said to him, don't worry, Smaich Adidi, you could rely on the Erev Tavshilin that I made. I made an Erev Tavshilin on behalf of the city. Memela, you could use my Erev, and you're allowed to cook for Shabbos. Lashana, the following year, or the following Yom Tif, that there was a Chiv of Erev Tavshilin. Again, Chazi Dava Otziv, Marshmuel saw that this Samya, he saw that he was sad again. So Amar Lei, so Marshmuel said to the Samya, he said, Amaya Tzivas, again, why are you sad? So Amar Lei, so the Samya said to him, Deloya Sivye Ruviv Tavshilin, because again, I forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin. So Amar Lei, so at this point, Marshmuel said to him, Peshayat. Okay, now at this point, you're just being negligent. Lekuli al-Mashari and Ledidach Aser. For everyone else in the city, they could rely on my Erev Tavshilin, but you cannot. And the Rishonim explained, because when the Rav makes an Erev Tavshilin, he does not have in mind the negligent people. That the negligent people are not able to be Saimich on the Rav's Erev, that's not people that he has in mind. And we learn from here that the Rav is not supposed to have those types of people in mind. He doesn't have in mind the people that are being negligent. Since this blind man was being negligent, so therefore Marshmuel told him that he's not covered by the Erev Tavshilin. Now, what exactly was the negligence of the Samya? So it's Machlekes Rishonim. The Rush learns that the negligence is that really you're not supposed to rely on the Rav. Really, you're supposed to make your own Erev Tavshilin. Really, you're supposed to make your own Erev Tavshilin and not supposed to rely on the Rav's Erev. So the fact that he forgot one time, okay, fine, you can be forgiven. But the fact that now he did it a second time, so at that point, says the Rush, now that's his negligence. His negligence is that he's not making his own Erev Tavshilin, and that's why now he's not allowed to rely on the Rav's Erev Tavshilin. The Ran learns that no, a person's allowed to lechatchila rely on the Rav's Erev Tavshilin. The Ran makes an interesting diak. The person, this blind man, the first year that he was sad, it seems like he didn't know the concept of relying on the Rav's Erev. Okay, fine, so it's understandable that he was sad the first year. Why was he sad the second year? The second Yom Tov, why was he sad? He knew he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. Okay, but didn't he know that he could just... At this point, he probably thinks that he could rely on the Rav's Erev Tavshilin. So why was he sad? Says the Ran, it must be because he had in mind that he doesn't want to use the Rav's Erev. He had in mind, this year I'm doing my own. I'm not... He specifically adas that he's not relying on the Rav's Erev. So says the Ran, that's what Marshmuel saw in him. He saw that he was being sad, so that means obviously he had in mind that he specifically doesn't want to use the Rav's Erev. That was his negligence. His negligence was not relying on the Rav. And that's why Marshmuel told him that now you can't rely on my Erev. L'mayis and Shulchan Aruch, it's paskin like the Rosh, that everyone is supposed to make their own Erev Tavshilin. You're not allowed to lechatchila rely on the Rav's Erev. And that's where we get this concept that if a person forgets twice, so then already he's not even allowed to. Okay, L'mayis and the Pais can speak about what practically to do with a person that does. And if it ever happens, one should ask a Shaila. But that's at least a Liba de Gemara. What comes out is that if a person forgets twice, according to the Psak of the Rosh, the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, once a person forgets twice, so then that's already him being negligent. And then he's not allowed to rely on the Rav. Says the Gemara, Vayter Tan Rabbanan, Yom Tif Shechal Yais Be'erev Shabbos. If you have a Yom Tif that falls out on Erev Shabbos, so Ein Ma'arvin Lo Yeruvei Techumen V'lo Yeruvei Chatzeres. When Yom Tif falls out on Erev Shabbos, so now you want to make an Erev Tchumen or an Erev Chatzeres for Shabbos. Erev Tchumen is what allows a person, normally a person can only go 2,000 amos outside of his city. But if a person sets up that his living place is 1,999 amos away, so now he could stay where he is. And then he could go to that place where he sets up as his Shvisa, as his living place, and then he could go 2,000 amos from there. Because you could go 2,000 amos in each direction. So if let's say a person, typically his house is, let's say, on the bottom right corner of using our Gemara as the mashal. If a person's house is on the bottom right corner of the Gemara, and the middle of the page, that's 2,000 amos away. So a person could go 2,000 amos to the left, he could go 2,000 amos to the right of his house also, off the page, up and down. Let's say he wants to go all the way to the bottom left corner of the page on Shabbos. There's a smack of shear going on over there. He wants to get to that shear. The problem is it's too far, so he sets up, he puts some bread in the middle of the page. He puts some bread far away from his house. He says that that's the place where he is for Shabbos. He could stay at his home because that's 2,000 amos to the right of the bread. He could go to the shear because that's 2,000 amos away from the bread. That's a ruvei techumen. So says the Braisa, you're not allowed to make a ruvei techumen on Yom Tov for Shabbos. You're also not allowed to make, a ruvei chatzeres. If you have a bunch of houses that open up into a chatzer, so Chazal asked to carry into that chatzer without making an eruv chatzeres. You're on Shabbos, on Yom Tov you're allowed to carry, but on Shabbos you can't carry there. So says the Braisa, you can't make these eruvin though on Yom Tov. And Rashi explains that the problem is that it's near a kemesakin, because being that it was usher without, you weren't allowed to travel that far without the eruv, you weren't allowed to carry into the chatzer without making the eruv chatzeres. By making the eruv, it looks like you're it's near a kemesakin, and therefore you can't make these things on Yom Tov. Rabbi Omer Ma'arvin. Eruvei chatzeres, avolai eruvei techumen. Rabbi made a split. He said eruvei chatzeres you're allowed to make on Yom Tov. You just can't make eruvei techumen. And what's the reason for the split? Mitnei sha'ata aisrei bedavar aserloi, via'ata aisrei bedavar amoterloi. You could ask him from doing something which he can't do now. Meaning on Yom Tov, he's also not allowed to go out of the tchum. So therefore, for him to make the tchum, that's more near a kemesakin. He's not allowed to make an eruv techumen on Yom Tov. But to make an eruv chatzeres, when he's allowed to carry into the chatzer now on Yom Tov, so it doesn't look like he's being masakin anything, so therefore he's allowed to make the eruv chatzeres on Yom Tov, even though he's doing it for Shabbos. Says the Gemara Itmar was stated that Rav Amar halacha ketanikamo, Shmuel Amar halacha k'rebi. That Rav said halacha is like ketanikamo, that you cannot make an eruv chatzeres or an eruv techumen, or really the machlokes is about eruv chatzeres. So Rav paskin like ketanikamo that you're not even allowed to make an eruv chatzeres, and Shmuel paskin like Rebbe, Shmuel Amar halacha k'rebi, that you are allowed to make an eruv chatzeres on Yom Tov. So now we bailu. The Gemara is a Shiloh that when Shmuel paskin like Rebbe, halacha k'Rebbe l'kula l'chumra. Was he saying that the halacha is like Rebbe as a kula or as a chumra? Well, ask the Gemara Pshito, l'kula kamar. What do you mean? Of course, it's a kula. The machlekes is about Erev Chatzeres, and Rebbe was Mekel. Rebbe said you could make an Erev Chatzeres. So of course, if Shmuel paskin like Rebbe, it means he's going l'kula. Says the Gemara, no, because there's two different versions of Rebbe. Our version of Rebbe is Rebbe's being Mekel. There's another version of Rebbe that Rebbe was Machmer. Mishum deshalach Rebbe Lazar legayla, Rebbe Lazar sent to Bavel. He said, loikishatim shainin, it's not like your girsa be Bavel, that Rebbe matter v'chachamim maistran, that Rebbe was matter to make the Erev Chatzeres, and the Chachamim said it's aser. El, it's the opposite, Rebbe oiser v'chachamim matirin. It's Rebbe who said it's aser, and the Chachamim who said it's who are matter it. So that's what the Gemara means to ask. When Shmuel said halacha is k'rebi, which Rebbe was he referring to? Was he referring to the Rebbe who was matir eruv chatzeres, or the version that Rebbe asered to make an eruv chatzeres? So says the Gemara Toshima, the Rav Tachlifa bar Avdimi Aved Uvda Kevase de Shmuel. Rav Tachlifa bar Avdimi, one time he paskin like Shmuel, which means he paskin like Rebbe, he paskined that the halacha is like Rebbe. Va'amar Rav, and Rav commented about Rav Tachlifa, about the fact that Rav Tachlifa, paskin like Rebbe, paskin like Shmuel, paskin like Rebbe, Rav commented and said that Tchilas Hayra, Dahai Tzor B'mrei Rabbanon, that the first psak of this young rabbi, Likilkula, he messed up, and he made a kilkul. So now, I Amre Bishlamo Likula Kamar, if you say that Rebbe and Shmuel paskin like Rebbe was saying a kula that you're allowed to make an eruv chatzeres, so it comes that Rav Tachlifa was being makel. He said that he allowed a person to make an eruv chatzeres. Hainu kilkula. Then it makes sense. Rav's comment that he said, "Oh, that this person, his first psak was a kilkula, because he was makel when he shouldn't have been." Ela'i amrit l'chumra. But if you say that it's l'chumra that you can't make an eruv chatzeres, that's what Rav Tachlifa was paskening. So then, my kilkula ika. Why is that a kilkul? He was machmer when he didn't have to be, but there's no kilkul that comes out from that. So says the Gemara, no, there is a kilkul. Because keva de mekalkula by rabim, since rabim now are going to end up messing up because he didn't allow them to make an eruv chatzeres, and there's going to be people that won't realize that they're still going to carry into the chatzer, so hayna kilkula, that's the kilkul. You're supposed to make it when you could, so make an eruv chatzeres. The Shita Mekubetzes learns from this Gemara, there's a mitzvah to make an eruv chatzeres when you could. So the fact that he asked hindered them in making an Erev Chatzeres, says the Gemara, that could be considered a kilkel. So there's no raya from Rav Tachlifa. From Rav's statement. So Amar Rava, Lamaisa, Halacha Lamaisa, says the Gemara, Rava says, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Huna, that Halacha Karebi ula Isser. That the Halacha is like Rebbe, and it's the Chumrah that you're not allowed to make an Erev Chatzeres and Yamtif.